It's time for your morning pep talk with Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
New day here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Tuesday morning, which means it's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Special day, special show on the Garden Line.
Special
today.
Opening, no special doubt. Everything. We're going to have some fun this morning. I'm going to welcome our guest with us for the Expert Panel. But hey, I told you yesterday we were in the weeds. Last week, all puns intended.
We were in the weeds.
We were sweating back here.
Exactly.
So get those texts in. Get your phone calls in early today, 850-437-1620 here for the Garden Line. We have Paul Logsdon joining us with Blue Sky Landscaping. And that brought me to our opening song, Mr. Blue Sky. Did you like how I did that?
I like that.
This is why they hired me.
Oh, she's good. There's no question. She's good.
Yeah. Exactly. I try to have fun with everything. All right. So, Paul, you are no stranger to the Expert Panel. You hop on in and help us out many times when Mike needs a break from me. And it's nice to have a day where we can have layers of expertise and advice. And we've kind of been in the midst of cold weather activities in your yard and in your garden. And today it's a nice day. I wore a tank top outside. We should be celebrating. I know you two love the hot weather, and it's two against one.
It's going to be in the 70s today, tomorrow, and the next day. Maybe a little rain. We could use a little bit of rain.
Yes.
We could.
There's no question. We could use a little bit of rain. But, boy, we're inching into the 70s. We're headed to spring, and it sure feels good.
So, but I have a question. And, again, if you have a question, 850-437-1620. I'm Jenna Barr hanging out with Mike Wiggins and Paul Logsdon here on the Garden Line. So this sporadic up and down, because it does look like Sunday it's going to go back down. How harsh is that? Is there things you should not do because of that up and down?
Well, I think you just need to be aware that it's only the end of February here. And March can bring us some very cold weather. As a matter of fact, we've talked about it here on the Garden Line, Paul, about how I remember, y'all weren't born yet, I remember the April freeze when I think it was 1st or 2nd of April. I mean, it took centipede grass, for example, that had almost come out of dormancy, took it right back to brown again.
Mm.
And there were other plants that were really damaged in that late spring, early spring freeze. Because a lot of people, said, I'm ready. I'm putting in my tomato plants and petunias, marigolds. I'm planting my spring stuff. And they had to do it all over again.
Yeah,
so you got to be aware.
Absolutely. There's the big box stores right now are starting to put out their spring annuals, tomatoes, blueberries, and all those. You don't want to plant those just yet.
No.
It is way too early.
It'll just be a waste of money. It'll die off maybe.
It'll die in the freezes unless you really keep it covered. Just kind of hold off from your spring planting right now.
But it's Pensacola. We don't know.
Yeah.
And we could ease into spring and everything could be great. I mean, let's face it, the climate has changed a little bit. It's gotten a little warmer. So you don't know, but quite frankly, gardening, Paul, you even know this, can be expensive. I mean, you go buy a pansy plant and you're going to pay a couple of bucks for one plant.
Right.
So you need to kind of be aware just so you don't waste your money and your time because it takes both of those to have a nice landscape, no question.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And we're talking everything from lawns to shrubs to flower, everything that you can put out in your yard. Or if you have any houseplant questions as well, you can throw those in today. I do see a trending question that I will get to each of them in just a moment. What's your thoughts?
Well, no, I have one thought. I would like Paul to kind of tell us, in a nutshell, the Cliff Notes version of what your landscape company, Blue Sky, does in Pensacola. What services do you do?
We run the gamut. We do everything from maintenance to designs. I do both 2D and 3D renderings for clientele. We do hardscaping, patios, pergolas.
Really?
Even some fence work. Yeah, so anything that has to do with the outdoors, we can help anybody out with.
Sounds great. I see you everywhere, your trucks. And before this show is over, we won't do it right now, we're going to talk about the Apple Yard project.
Oh, didn't that turn out great?
It is phenomenal. I've never seen anything quite like it. So we will talk about that before the show is
over.
Thank you. It's just amazing.
Excellent. All right, we're going to hear more about that. Again, 850-437-1620. I see a couple of texts, pretty much the same thing, and this has been one of our biggest questions, I feel like, in the past 2 weeks or so.
It's not armadillos, is it?
No.
Or squirrels?
Didn't we, like, kill those off? I feel like we were in charge of that. I think we were
gone.
Fully responsible making armadillos extinct.
Good.
Don't tempt me to play that song today, Mr. Wiggins.
Don't do it. Do not do it.
Listen, I feel like we're eventually our mascot is going to be an armadillo riding a bird scooter.
That is hilarious.
And then we'll have Malcolm Ballinger just out crawling around. Just no.
I'm sorry I brought it up. Sorry.
Don't give me anything. I will just go for it.
Did you tell Malcolm about what I shared with
yes.
you?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
The bird scooters and the downtown scooters. I've seen them actually. If we're talking gardening, I've seen a couple of them crash into the. I'm not laughing at it. The lovely landscaping.
Oh God.
Downtown. And I think it's a lack of being able to steer, and people are new to it. So, I mean, just in that aspect, it's absolutely, it's annoying. Hey, here is a common question that's been asked in the past couple of weeks. Is it time to put down pre-emergent on the lawn? It's been the number one question.
There's no question about it. I think most of our listeners have heard my take on that, which I will give you in just a minute. But, Paul, yep. Maybe a fresh look at that. What do you think?
We're putting down our pre-emergence.
You are right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a good time. When is a good time to stop?
You don't want to do it when it starts getting really warm. So you want to kind of stay when it's still in the cool phases. I wouldn't go past middle March.
Oh, okay.
Right. And what you have to watch out for is the temperature. You're absolutely right. You get into the 80s. I think it might be too warm to do it. What I like to do is use it right now, just like you're doing, Paul. I think, because what you're doing, you're not concerning yourself, quite frankly, about the weeds that you're seeing right now, a lot of the winter weeds, from the Florida betony to the henbit to poana, that annual bluegrass, that type of thing. You're looking to prevent those summer weeds, dollarweed, Florida pusley, that type of thing. So get it now, because, once again, this weather, once you get into the 70s and high 70s, those weeds are going to start coming up.
Yep.
So you've got to get that stuff on there before they germinate. Those weed seeds germinate, so you don't have the weeds. Now, I think we all know it's not perfect. It's not perfect. It never gets them all. Your basic weed control, and Paul, you can tag on to this, because I know you probably believe in this philosophy. Your best weed control is a healthy, thick lawn.
Yes.
You've got to do everything else right. Water, fertilization, fungus control, insect control, all of that stuff. Mowing it right, that type of thing. So, in any event, I agree. Put it out right now. Now, some of the literature will tell you to repeat it in about 8 weeks. It could be too hot then in Pensacola. So,
absolutely.
You may want to stay away from that.
Okay, excellent information. If you have any more questions, 850-437-1620. I want to get to our listener on the line. We have John from Pensacola. Let's hear John's question, take a quick break, and we'll come back and answer him. Hey, good morning, John. What's your question for Mike and Paul this morning?
Hello, good morning, everybody. So it goes right along with what you're talking about. I've got some weeds that are coming out of my grass, and they're like 10 inches tall, and they put out this pretty little purple flower. I've got some people telling me I can burn that with a yard burner, and it will kill the weeds and help the grass.
Oh, no.
What's your thoughts on that?
Okay. I've got definite thoughts on that, Paul. Go for it.
All right. Hey, you know, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about that. John, stay on the line. We've got more coming up here on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Fire safety, apparently, is what we are going to cover next here on the Garden Line.
Attention, hunters. It's time to get better results for your food plots, and Barnes Feed Store has what you need to help make your hunting season a success. If you have soil sample results, bring it in and they'll point you in the right direction. Get your bags of pre-mixed seeds or single seeds, deer protein, rice bran, deer candy, and your headquarters for Pennington Rackmaster. Get your food plots right this year. Get over to Barnes Feed Store, a proud Pensacola tradition for over 65 years, in Enslin, Old Palafox, and in Molino on Highway 29.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Looking for a local shop that carries Michelin tires that you can trust? In Pensacola, that place is Tire Trust. Downtown on the corner of Gregory and Balin, Tire Trust has been taking care of people in Pensacola for over 23 years. Featuring the Michelin line, Tire Trust prides themselves on service you can trust. Tire Trust is more than a tire store. They're a full-service shop taking care of all your automotive needs. For service you can trust and Michelin tires, put your trust in Tire Trust.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
And we're back here on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr, 850-437-1620. It's 9:18. So John from Pensacola, he's hanging out with us on the phone here. So we want to give him some advice this morning about trying to get rid of weeds and using maybe a not-so-standard method.
A yard burner.
Yeah.
Paul, take it away.
I would steer away from that, especially in our area. The winter is a lot of times our driest months. So I would steer clear of trying to burn any weeds out of your yard, just on that basis alone. Not to mention anything could go wrong with that. So there's a lot of other methods, organic or chemical, but I would steer away from the flame.
Okay, stay away from the flame. Totally can you recommend agree. A couple of other chemicals that maybe he can spray? Use the standard sprayer.
Yeah, is he still on the line?
John's still hanging out with us.
Okay, are you wanting to eradicate everything at one time?
Well, not really. I spent a couple hours out there over the weekend just pulling them by hand. Made a big dent in it. But like y'all were saying, I don't want them to germinate or whatever. I didn't know if it was bad for my grass or good for my grass to burn them off. I mean, I don't have any brush or anything around. Mm-hmm. It's pretty still wet around my place, but that's just what they're telling me. They're saying, "Hey, it'll kill them."
Yeah, let me ask you a question. I assume these are weeds that are in your turf, in your lawn right now. You want to kill,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Correct.
Way back in the day, some of the agricultural folks would burn weeds, but they would kill everything. It would be like what I would call a non-selective weed killer, in that you burn it, you're going to kill everything. Not only the weed, you're going to kill your lawn, and even have the chance of sterilizing that particular area where nothing's going to grow for a while. So I think burning them, quite frankly, just like Paul said, I think that's a bad idea. Plus, you could burn down your garage, too. Yeah. So you just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You do what we just said a little while ago. Put your pre-emergence on there right now, and take good care of your lawn. Do all the right things, and your weed control is going to be about as good as you can do it.
So one more question. Do you think it's worth pulling them like I'm doing, or can I just mow them and bag it?
Well, quite frankly, I think I'd mow it and bag it. I mean, pulling is fine. I mean, that's good. It's a lot of work, depending on how many you have. But a lot of the weeds in your yard right now, Paul, help me here, are winter weeds,
the
ones we talked about. And quite honestly, when we get into the warmer weather, they're not going to be your problem. They're going to go away. So when the heat comes, you're going to have to worry about these future weeds that are going to come up in the summer. That's why you use the pre-emergence right now.
Yeah, Florida betony and buffalo grass, they're going to go away in just maybe about 3 to 4 weeks. It's going to start warming up, and these winter weeds are going to disappear.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, John, thank you so much for your call, and thank you for listening. If you do have a question, 850-437-1620. I don't know who worked so hard and so fast on this graphic, but thank you. Thank you for sending in. I will be sure to post this to our podcast today, and you'll have to go and check out our News Radio 923/podcast and look for the Garden Line, and then you will see. It's a little treat. I'll have to show you in our next break. So pre-emergence is okay to put on right now. We have talked before about having the all-in-one pre- and post-emergence, and a couple of questions have come in. Is it okay to apply that right now?
I have my opinion. I think Paul has his. Paul is our special guest. I will defer to him, and I'll tag on to that.
I don't ever like the mixes. Pre and post, weed and feed. It's just like shampoo, conditioner. You know, it's a scam to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
You can't shampoo and condition your hair at the same time, just like you can't pre and post at the same time. You can't weed and feed at the same time. It's best to get a brand that works for you and just concentrate on one job at one time. If you want to pre-emerge, just go ahead and pre-emerge. Then, later, when it's really warm, then start your post-emergence. You know, do each task when it's time. Don't try to cut corners and do it all at the same time, because it just doesn't work.
Okay.
I was in one of your big box stores this weekend, and they had the weed and feed fertilizer stacked to the roof. And it sounds so convenient. It really does. But quite frankly, you want to put pre-emergence on right now, middle of February, and you want to fertilize your yard. You want to feed it as we probably get into April.
Yeah.
You just don't want to do it too soon. And like we talked about last week, you start putting that high nitrogen fertilizer, which generally is the fertilizer included in your weed and feed. You start putting that on this time of year, that high nitrogen fertilizer. You're going to get a lot of growth of your blades of grass, but the ground is still so cold, those blades are going to turn yellow. And so you're going to have that canary yellow-looking yard, which you're going to immediately say, I've got a fungus, but you don't.
Yep.
You use the weed and feed.
You know what that reminds me of?
What does that remind you of?
It reminds me of, like, you want to have blonde hair, but you don't want to pay to, like, have the good blonde hair. So instead, you go to the pharmacy and you get yourself a decent bottle of Sunin. You knew where I was going with this, Paul. You knew. Don't roll your eyes. And you spray your head down with some Sunin, thinking, you know, I'm going to get some golden locks. But then it turns an orangey, yellow, fried-looking, like a French fry gone bad. You don't want that.
I've been in the business.
You don't want that for your lawn.
I've been in this business 40 years.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go.
I've never heard that analogy for weed and feed fertilizer. I really never have.
Listen, but that is great. I told you there were reasons why they hired me.
Do you remember the lemon juice when try to?
I did that too.
Yeah.
I went one step further, and I'm telling you, I had to like almost cut off all my hair, and I mixed it with hydrogen peroxide.
Oh my gosh.
I pretty much made a bleach, a nice acidic bleach that stung while it hit your neck for your hair. Don't do that to your lawn.
Yeah,
so we are tying this into lawn care, okay, people? We've got some more questions coming in here on the garden line, and also pictures of armadillos riding our bird scooters. So thank you for that. 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll answer another question. Head on over to Mark Jacobs in the newsroom.
Attention Pensacola homeowners. Have you been underpaid by your insurance company? Have you been denied any money due to your property damage? That's what Helping Neighbors Claim Adjusters is here for. Helping Neighbors Claim Adjusters are licensed public adjusters who help homeowners to recover money for any type of property damages. Don't waste your valuable time arguing and hassling with your insurance when you have professionals that do that for you. Are you experiencing roof damage, ceiling leaks, ceiling stains, or mold and mildew? We can help. Is your home experiencing plumbing issues due to old cast iron pipes? Stop waiting and call us now for a free evaluation. 850-988-4036. Homeowners, remember, if your insurance company told you that your damages are less than your deductible, then you should call us to get a second opinion because you may be entitled to more money. We're paid from recoveries, not your pocket, so we don't get paid unless you do. 850-988-4036. 850-988-4036. 4036.
Visit Pensacola salutes the power of travel. Mark Twain once said, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness." What he meant was that travel provides a way to see beyond your surroundings and expand your appreciation of the world. The power of travel can make lifelong friends, unforgettable stories, and that special picture in your mind's eye. Celebrate the power of travel with the oldest settlement in America. Download the Visit Pensacola app and experience the power of travel with Visit Pensacola.
Hard work, determination, honesty, fairness. These are the values you hold dear. And when you spend your hard-earned money, you want to trust that things will be done right. For over 100 years, BBB has been making it easier for you to find good businesses. When you see the BBB accredited seal, you know that's a company you can count on. So look for the seal and start with trust. Go to BBB.org and find a trustworthy business today.
The Conservative Political Action Conference is coming to Florida. CPAC is in Orlando February 24th through the 27th, and News Radio will have live updates from the conference. This year, CPAC has guest speakers like Governor DeSantis, Jim Jordan, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Marsha Blackburn, Candace Owens, Dr. Ben Carson, Ennis Freedom, and yes, former President Donald Trump. News Radio 92.3 will cover CPAC with live updates from Orlando February 24th through the 27th and a wrap-up on Monday the 28th. So this weekend, tune in to News Radio 92.3. Dependable. Local.
Wop bop ba loom bop 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 tooty poo oh rude tooty poo oh rude tooty poo oh rude tooty poo.
It's 9:28 here. You're listening to The Garden Line. I'm Jenna Barr. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Our text line is 850-437-1620. We had our friend text in a picture of their Japonica, the mountain snow pieris. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's French. But they texted, it's beautiful. White buds. Absolutely gorgeous. Thank you for that. And this is in their yard. This is amazing. And just a few hours of sunlight needed. I think that's really cool. We were talking on the break about how, Paul, you really encourage people in your line of work to try to go native to our, what's it called? What is it? A zone? Right?
Yes.
Native
We're in zone eight.
Native to zone eight. And we were also mentioning that blueberries are just the underestimated and underused shrub of our area. And why don't people see that? Is it because they just automatically assume that it needs a lot of work because it's like a edible plant?
Yeah, people, it's not used a lot of times because people think of it as a fruit shrub or fruit tree, and it doesn't a lot of times get as much notability as it should because of that reason, but it makes a beautiful shrub. There's many varieties that only grow to be about 3 feet tall. It's got some great foliage color in the silvery blue color spectrum of the leaves, so it's not like a super dark evergreen. But I mean, fall color, sometimes it'll turn red. It's just a great shrub, and it's a native, so a lot less irrigation, a lot less fertilizing, unless you want more fruit on it, of course. But I mean, and drought tolerant. It grows in both understory and in full sun, so it's just a great shrub.
It makes a great small hedge. And we were talking a minute ago. I was reading about blueberries the other day. I can't remember why, but it says considering climate change, where we're warming up, there's some varieties that are going to do better than others. The old Tiff Blue.
Yeah.
We might be able to improve on that with one called Powder Blue. So talk to your nurseryman. Yeah. Talk to Paul, and you get the right variety to plant, and you'll enjoy it.
Okay, excellent. Hey, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned for Fox News and a local news update with Mark in the newsroom. It's halftime on the Garden Line. No, you don't get to have an amazing halftime show. We get to enjoy that back here. We were talking about the what was the name of that flower our friend sent in? Let's see.
The Pieris.
The Pieris. And what did you say it was called? It's a type of Japonica, but...
Yeah, it's in the Andromeda family.
Andromeda Pieris. I just needed to say it.
Slip in Japonica in there, too, now.
Andromeda Pieris Japonica.
Which means it's from...
I just put a spell on you.
Which means it's from Japan. That's all that means.
That's right. Konnichiwa. 850-437-1620. We do have some calls coming in. I'm going to make sure that I get those locked in. If you do have a question, please text it in. 850-437-1620. So we were saying we don't like the weed and feed combo. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, we don't supersize it. It's not better. And a lot of people text in, and they can totally relate to my son in reference, y'all. So you're welcome. I'll be here till 11. all right, let's head on over to our phone lines. Hey, who are we talking to this morning? Good morning.
Hey, this is Tommy, and I have a question about putting lime down. I drug my feet and I put the fast acting lime down. Just wondering what the difference between your regular lime and the fast acting lime is.
Ooh. Okay, regular lime and fast acting lime.
The lime I want you to use is called dolomite lime. I don't think you did a lot of damage putting down any other type of lime, but you want to, when you go buy it, you want granular dolomite lime. And it usually comes in about a 40-pound bag. And generally will cover about 1,000 square feet. So you may need numerous bags to get it done right. Let me ask you this question. Why are you putting down lime?
Towards the end of last season, I was thinking I had this, that, and the other. And as it turned out, I realized that it had been about 3 years since I put lime down. And I think the acidic soil just kept my grass from thriving like it had been.
Well, I think you're right on target. You have St. Augustine grass?
I do, sir.
Yeah, you're right on target. You're absolutely right. To me, you can figure what you need as far as lime is concerned two ways. One, you can get a soil test, which is easy to do but takes some time. Or two, you can do just what you did. Wait, I say 2 years. You waited three. Doesn't make that much difference, I don't think. Then put the dolomite lime out. What the dolomite lime does, it raises up the pH level. And when it raises that pH level on that St. Augustine, that allows that St. Augustine to take in the nutrients that you're putting on there. In other words, the fertilizer you put on will work better if your pH is right. So as far as I'm concerned, you are right on target in putting your lime out. Be careful. Paul, I always say this, and I'm not even sure where I heard this, but I've said it over the years, and I think it's true. Do not put your lime out and your fertilizer out within 2 weeks of each other. They chemically somehow...
And thank you. Can I comment on...
Yes, please.
Can I comment on that real quick?
Absolutely.
What I put down was a pelletized, labeled as a fast-acting lineman. I did it Sunday, and I remembered in your last show you said not to put the pre-emergent down for at least 2 weeks. So my plan is 2 weeks from now, which puts me behind the curve on putting the the pre-emergent out.
Well, oh, no, the pre-emergence and the lime have nothing to do with each other. You could do those the same day. There's no question. It's fertilizer and lime where you need to have that two-week stretch between them.
Oh, good.
No, you're right on. You're right on target. You're doing the right thing. And if you can get your pre-emergence on, I think like Paul said a minute ago, get it, by the end of February, early March, you'll be in good shape. And just get the lime on whenever you can, but don't do it within 2 weeks of putting out your fertilizer, which you're probably going to do in April.
Okay, well, if I'm right on, it's just because I listened to your show, Mike.
I appreciate you saying that. I really do. Good luck, but it sounds like you're doing everything right, and we wish you well.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Hey, Tommy, thank you so much, and get those calls in and text in 850-437-1620. We had a question coming in. I just wanted to double check it. We were talking about trimming things too. I was talking about the knockout roses, but somebody was asking the infamous question about, you know where I'm going? I know it kind of, people get antsier this time of year. I feel like as we get closer to March and April, it's like, when do we scalp them? When do we not scalp them? I'm teasing you. Is it time to trim back our crepe myrtles?
Yes, absolutely.
Now is the time. We have a yes across the expert panel today.
But Paul has a observation that he has made. I won't say who it was, a commercial establishment. What'd you see?
Oh, they started their crepe murdering process. Do not crepe murder your crepe myrtles, please.
I love that you just call it a process. It is a process right there. It's like, this should be like the, now we're turning into a, what is that called? The documentary, the serious crimes document, the murder documentaries, murder podcast, the true crime.
The true crime
is murdering your crepe myrtle.
You don't want to just chop it.
It's all over town. It really is. And it's a shame. Remember now, crepe myrtles bloom on new growth. So what you need to do when you get in there is cut the new growth that grew on last year and cut it back about a third or a half and let that be it. And keep in mind, you also, for a healthy crepe myrtle, if you've got one just out in the wide open spaces, you don't have to cut it back at all.
No, let it be. There's a small tree. Just let it do its thing. And the reasoning a lot of people have is because they think that by chopping it down, they're going to get more blooms, but they really won't. If you let it grow the way it's supposed to grow, it's going to perform beautifully for you.
All these folks that have just done crepe myrtle are going to have they're going to have new growth. It's all going to come up, but it's going to be spindly little bit of growth like that. We call it the witch's broom. And that's just
it's not cute.
It's not attractive.
We need cute crepe myrtles.
You get those knuckles.
Is that what happens when you trim them down?
They'll knuckle over, and you can get diseases and all kinds of stuff. It's just bad.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, 850-437-1620 is the number two texter call for the Garden Line. Linda from Pensacola is on the line. Welcome to the Garden Line, Linda.
Yes, I was wondering what to do for azalea grass at this time.
Repeat that one more time. Sorry, Linda.
What you would put down for azalea grass at this time.
Okay.
What to do for azalea grass.
Yes.
Absolutely. Paul, you want to take it?
Azalea grass is the last grass to come out of dormancy. So, right now you could do your pre-emergence like we were just discussing, but I wouldn't add any kind of fertilizing or anything to it. Until actually maybe even a week later than you would for your St. Augustines and centipedes. Zoysia goes into dormancy first and comes out of dormancy last. Um, it's, it's kind of like the pecan tree of sod, if you will, because it's
very well said.
The pecan tree of sod.
Yeah, it's just
wisdom.
And it's incredibly, incredibly drought tolerant, robust. It really doesn't need much. I wouldn't do anything just yet.
I totally agree. You could use your pre-emergence if you've had a weed problem. Mm-hmm. Now, that zoysia grass is a, if it's in the right place, and I know you've done everything right, Linda. If it's thick and you've had no weed problem, you don't need to use your pre-emergence weed control. That's
right.
Just something you don't have to do. But I totally agree. Just kind of cool it, because zoysia grass is becoming one of the most popular grasses in our area because people are fed up with St. Augustine, mm-hmm. with the fungus that it gets and the insects that it gets. But Paul is absolutely right on target. The one disadvantage of zoysia is it's coming out of dormancy late, goes into dormancy early. And so you have to realize that's what's going to happen. You get, when it starts to go into dormancy late, like in the fall, a lot of people say, oh, my goodness, I've got problems here.
Yeah.
I've got disease. I've got bugs. No, it's just the nature of the grass. But it is a great grass. But full sun and mow it right, about 2.5 inches, you can mow it much lower than you can St. Augustine. But I would fertilize it in April, and you could even wait till May. You really could.
And on that, also, a lot of people, when it gets cooler, start to mess with their irrigation. It's okay to turn your irrigation down, but you don't want to cut it off, especially because our winters are so dry. So just keep making sure your zoysia is irrigated through the winter. It doesn't have to be as heavily as the spring and summer, but you don't want to shut off the irrigation.
I turned mine back on this weekend.
Good.
I saw the dry weather coming,
mm-hmm.
and it had been dry. Plus, I wanted to see if it worked, and it did.
The test drive.
Test drive, exactly. But, yes, exactly. A lot of people we've had that have had their sprinkler system off and just hadn't been paying much attention to it because it is February. But Paul's right on. You need to go ahead and get some water on there. Keep in mind, the roots of our plants are still growing.
Mm-hmm.
We have, here in Zone 8, that happens. And so you need to not let everything just totally dry out.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to take another quick break. I have a couple of people giving some input to about crepe myrtles that I want to touch on real quick. We are running out of time, so if you do have questions, don't put us in the weeds this week. 850-437-1620. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3.
I like it. I'm not sure I know it, but I like it.
Well, okay, it's called the booty swing. But I thought it was fun. I did it for Paul.
I was going to say, with Paul here, you're playing a lot of this contemporary stuff. We're going back to the 60s next week. I love Paul being here, but he may have to put up with our 60s music the next time.
I love the 60s music, too.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so we did have some commentary on crepe murdering, crepe myrtling, crepe myrtle planting, so one of our listeners who gives actually a lot of solid advice and input to the Garden Line said to really be careful about where you are planting your crepe myrtles. Do not plant them under the eaves of your house or get too close to your house because they've seen it ruin the eaves of the house.
Well, Paul, I'll let you tag on to this, but that's any tree.
Yes.
That's any tree. You've got to, one, look at the variety of the tree and see, and you don't want to put it too close to your house. And if you're going to let your crepe myrtle just grow to the sky, that's okay too. But if it's under power lines or just in the wrong place in your yard to have a big tree, then you need to do your pruning. So you need to look at variety of trees and look at location and take all of that into effect. And there's some different varieties, aren't there, Paul, of crepe myrtle?
Especially with the crepe myrtle, look into, when you're purchasing a crepe myrtle, look into its growing habits. Is it upright? Is it doming? How tall will it get? How wide will it get? And let that dictate where you put it. Because there's a lot of good dwarf varieties. And then there, like the Natchez is a gigantic tree.
Right.
Exactly.
And
that's what we got downtown. It's a beautiful crepe myrtle, but you don't want that right up to your house.
Exactly.
So be very mindful of the variety and growing habits when you're planting. And just like magnolias, you'll see a lot of people will put a magnolia right next to their house.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, just make sure it's a dwarf, you know, like little gem or teddy bear.
Okay.
You don't want to do a southern magnolia underneath the house.
They get massive.
Yeah. So it's just knowing the plant that you're putting.
That's exactly right. Good advice.
Okay, very good. Somebody else was saying that they don't really believe in trimming back their crepe myrtles, just kind of letting it grow, letting it be. Theirs has lasted. A couple other people texted in the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, to each their own crepe myrtling life. but I know that y'all recommend do trimming it back, not completely down to the stubs, which I see it all over my neighborhood. And I'm like, you know, I go for my walks and I'm sorry, buddy. Sorry about your life. Sorry about that. Like, just like cut them off at the knees. Hey, moving on to this question, I want to make sure I get to you. I see your question. Right now, our listener has a yard full of weeds and they want to know, is it okay to put down pre-emergence right now? We did say yes. Now is the time. But are the weeds that are sprouting right now just winter weeds? Will they go away? I've never heard that question.
Well, without looking at it, it's hard to say.
Yeah,
right.
But they are some real bad actors that are winter weeds. Mm-hmm. Say it again. Florida betony, henbit, poana, which is annual bluegrass. Those are just three, and there are some more that come up in the winter, and then the heat just takes them away. However, the Florida betony, the rattlesnake weed, you know, it's still got that root under the ground. It'll come back again next winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's not what you're dealing with the pre-emergence. You're dealing with future weeds. Absolutely.
Is post-emergence then, but it's too late for that, is
no,
it?
No, well, it's too early for that.
Too early.
Too early for that. Yeah, your post-emergence, use your pre-emergence, and then as you get into April and May, you can use your post-emergence to spray those weeds that have escaped the pre-emergence that you put on. That's a general philosophy.
Now, if they're in the flower beds, you know, you could use like a contact killer on those, you know, where you won't hit all the flowers and stuff, you know, like just a Roundup or whatever you decide. You know, people actually also use vinegar if they're more organic.
Yeah.
White vinegar will kill off weeds. But the Florida betony is, you won't get rid of that without some real good effort. It's related to the mint. And we all know what mint will do in the spring and summer. So Florida betony does that in the winter. It'll try to take over. And just like Mike said, it's got a tuber that looks like a little rattlesnake underground.
Okay.
You can't get rid of it.
No, you can try to even dig it. But if you leave a little piece of it under there,
yeah,
it's going to just come back. So just realize, live with it till we get into the warmer weather, and then it won't be a bother anymore.
Okay, but it's still okay to go ahead and spray that pre-emergence already.
Oh, yes.
Just wanted to let you know that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to take another quick break before we wrap things up this morning with Mike Wiggins and Paul Logsdon on the Garden Line. I know we're having too much fun, from sunning to armadillos riding bird scooters and Lord knows what else we just touched on. 850-437-1620. Go ahead and squeeze in that last minute question. Are wrapping things up this morning on the Garden Line. First, I want to say thank you to Paul Logsdon for joining me and Mike Wiggins. In a few weeks, we're going to get our friend Carol Lord to join us as well. So we're going to be adding more layers to the Pensacola Expert Panel and the Garden Line. And somebody had texted in. Let me get to this real quick. Paul had a comment before we wrap up. We have a minute left. Oh, on crepe myrtles, our friend Dave said, hey, is it in stress? You can trim it back. If not, leave it alone or dig it up. Or if it's in stress, you can dig it up. What is your thoughts?
Yeah, so crepe myrtles, azaleas, lauripetlums, certain plants of that nature, if they get under a lot of stress and they're not performing, you can do kind of a drastic trim, and it will force the new growth, and the plant will get back into a healthy mode. It's kind of like if you think about us, when we get a deep cut and they do like a suture,
right?
sometimes you just have to rip off the scabs and stuff to promote better healing. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. It'll just kick the new life into it, and it'd be great.
As is with life.
Yes.
We're going to bring it full circle. Okay, we are down to the last couple of seconds. What do we have to look forward to next week, Mike? We're getting hopefully closer to spring.
Oh, it's time just to kind of review, do our checklist for spring. Starting out, and Paul does this so well with his company, is planning. Planning. Plan what you want to do. We talked earlier about how expensive stuff is nowadays. So plan what you want to use that you've got, what you want to add, how you want it to look. So we'll talk a little bit about that next week. Some hints on how to start your planning on your landscape. I think that might be fun.
All right. Excellent. Paul, we will talk to you soon. Mike, we will see you next week.
Yeah. Paul, great being with you, my friend.
Thank
y'all
you.
Do great work. I hope folks realize that and give you a call. Okay.